Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's the third of the Beatitudes in Matthew. I did what I generally tend to do, which is the first thing I did was Googled what meek meant. And it came up with this, which you might not be able to read, but it says, noun, the facts or condition of being meek, submissiveness. And then it's got a quote like it sometimes has to show you how to use it in a sentence. All his best friends make fun of him for his meekness. Well, the first thing I thought was he needed to get some new best friends, doesn't he? But then I thought, it does really have a PR problem, doesn't it, meekness? It rhymes with weak, and you think weak, feeble, meek, weebly. Kind of think of Gollum. That's sort of like creeping. So God's not asking us to be like Gollum. So I hope as we go through and reflect on this passage a bit, we'll come to an understanding of what God is saying to us through this. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for being with us. We know that you're always with us, but we really thank you for the privilege it is to sense your presence and know you by our side. We want to get to know you better. We want a relationship with you. And we have to confess that we're not always great at that. And we sometimes forget you, and we sometimes go through whole days where we don't think of you. And we end up tired, or we end up grumpy, and we haven't really allowed you into our lives and taken that time. So I thank you for this time, and we pray it will be a precious time of coming close to you and you drawing close to us as you promised to. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to come on to a bit about the meekness PR problem. But first, Jesus tells us that the meek will be blessed. And the word blessed has the sense of happiness as well to it. So God is promising us here that we'll be happy, we'll be blessed, we'll be whole. And I wonder if those that he was speaking to back then were as keen as we are today to find the key to happiness, the source to happiness. There's a lot, isn't there, about there's lots of books you can get on Amazon, and there's lots of courses that you can do online, 10 weeks to happiness. And I imagine that the people listening to him then were like, yes, tell us, how can we be happy? How can we be blessed? And I imagine them hanging on his every word. And Jesus here is telling us, he's opening up to us, this is the path to life. This is a blessed life. This is the good life. In every sense of the word, this is the good life I've come to bring to you. So what is meekness? If it's not being like Gollum, what is meekness? Well, who inherits things? This was the first thing I started thinking of, because it says the meek will inherit the earth. So who inherits things? Yeah, I can see people mouthing. Children. Children inherit things. And I think this verse is telling us that it's the children of God who will inherit the earth. And we'll know we're children of God because one of the signs will be our meekness. And the reason that children of God are meek is because God himself is meek. That might come as a bit of a surprise, meek, if we're thinking of it in the sense of being weak and feeble, because it doesn't actually mean that. So let's look at other ways that the word is used in the Bible, because it's translated in different ways, but it's used in a couple of other passages that I want us to look at today. So first of all, it's in Greek, if you're interested. I don't know if any Greek speakers, but it's hoi prais, apparently, prais. I don't even know how you pronounce it. But it means the meek ones. And it's translated meek, gentle or humble in other places. So Matthew 21, verse 5, it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, crass, meek, and riding on a donkey. So it's translated often humble, isn't it? Or lowly, and riding on a donkey. We've just celebrated this, or commemorated this event, haven't we, on Palm Sunday. Jesus entering Jerusalem, not on a charger, a stallion, a chariot, a Rolls Royce, but on a colt, a young donkey. And this is something that, back in the ancient times, that Christians apparently were ridiculed for. Their deriders made images of a crucified man with a donkey's head. They were saying, "This is who you worship? Really? This person who rides into town on a donkey, who ends up charged and sentenced to a criminal's death, this is who you call king?" But the prophets foresaw it in Zechariah. They said, "See, your king is coming, meek and riding on a donkey." And the second place that I want to look at is Matthew 11, verse 29. And Jesus actually uses the word to describe himself. I wonder how you describe yourselves, what words you would use to describe yourself, your being, your personality. Well, this is what Jesus said. He said, as we heard earlier, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am prouse, meek. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek," he's not sort of standing apart from us and saying, "It's okay for me to sit in a palace and have everything brought to me and have servants serve me, but you've got to be humble and gentle." No, he's saying, "Be like me. This is the good life. This is the good life." So Jesus is like the prototype. He says, "I've come and lived meekly among you, and I am blessed. I'm the blessed one. Live like me, be like me, and my inheritance will be your inheritance." So meekness can't be about being a doormat, because Jesus wasn't a doormat. Or it can't be about being timid. It's not about putting up with abuse and staying in an abusive relationship. It's not about a certain personality type. It's not about like being a quiet person. If you're a loud, outgoing person, you can still be meek, gentle, and humble. And it's not about keeping quiet in the face of injustice, is it? Because Jesus didn't do that. But it is about being humble, being gentle, being loving. Jesus didn't grasp at power. He didn't order people around. He didn't demand service, did he? But he served others. I read in a Daily Bread readings that it says the Greek word rendered meek is also rendered gentle or humble. And apparently Moses was commended as the meekest man on earth in the Old Testament. So because this word is used of Moses and Jesus, it's clear that meekness is not weakness. And Nelson's Illustrated Bible defines meekness as an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness towards others, springing from a recognition that God is in control. It is strength and courage under control, coupled with kindness. I had a couple of friends to stay yesterday. Well, they didn't come to stay, they came for the day. And if you move it onto the next slide, it should have a picture of what we attempted to make. I'm wearing mine, and it didn't come out as well as my friends, but anyway, that's fine. But we made silver things. You can get this silver clay. You might have seen the woman on the One Show. I've forgotten her name now, but she makes all this silver clay jewellery inspired by the natural world. So she goes out and she goes foraging in woods and forests, and she makes stuff inspired by what she finds. So we were making this clay and having to keep on, you know, rolling it up, rolling it out. It wasn't coming out quite right. I'd make a mistake. I'd roll it up. I'd do it again. I'd do the imprint. I'd roll it up. It wouldn't come out right. It would have fingerprints in it, smudging it. So I'd have to roll it up, do it again. And I think that's a bit like us, that we don't get it right, do we? We don't get it right. But God, Jesus, forgives us. He walks alongside us, and he helps us to make those changes in our life. The Holy Spirit lives through us and helps us to make those changes. It was really useful having the pictures in her book, the instructions, because we could follow. And it is good for us to have Jesus and look at Jesus and look at how he was, look at how he is. He is our model, he's our prototype, and we need to follow him. But to live like this is really countercultural, isn't it? A lot of our culture tries to mold us into being not meek, humble, and gentle, but sort of self-serving. There's a chap called Brian McLaren, who's a theologian and pastor in America, and he says that culture tries to manipulate us, often through fear. Because when we're afraid, it's easier to manipulate us. It's easier for the world, the culture, to make us think what it wants us to think. So we might think of fake news, trying to make us think certain things that aren't true. Data harvesting, it's a bit scary, isn't it? They know everything about us, so they can almost brainwash us by giving those messages to us that they know will make us take notice. There's all these ways that culture and the world try to mould us through fear. Arm yourselves with more guns to protect yourself from people with guns, we're told. People who are different to you are a threat to you, so protect your own interests, we're told. Look, these people are happier than you because they've brought this thing that I'm selling, we're told. And all these messages are being fed to us every day to pressurize us and tempt us to be the opposite of meek, gentle, and humble, which I don't know what the word for that is, so I'm just going to call it anti-meek. And maybe we'll think closer to home in our own lives, in our work situation. How are we tempted to be anti-meek? What are the ways where the surrounding culture, maybe of our workplace or our neighbourhood or a group we go to, tries to mould us into demanding our own way or being bullish or pushing people? So how do we live meek, gentle, humble lives? If we've got all this culture, everything against us, all these apps which tell us to mark other people for their attractiveness or not, you know, all of this is around us, moulding us into being anti-meek. So how do we live meek, gentle, humble lives? Well, I was thinking about how Jesus did it. And one thing that comes across to me about Jesus when I read the Gospels is he really knew who he was. He really was secure in who he was. He knew where he should go, what he should do, who he should speak to. He wouldn't be swayed to the left or right. He knew what his mission was from God, and he was set on doing it. And he wasn't dancing to anyone else's tune. You know, when they wanted him to stand up for himself at his trial, he was silent. Because he had that security, he knew he didn't need to be what they wanted him to be. And I think we can only be gentle and humble and meek when we have that confidence in God. It's actually a really strong thing to be able to be meek. Because if you know who you are and you have that confidence in God, we don't have to get involved in like those petty power struggles, do we? If you know you're going to inherit everything, the meek will inherit the earth, you don't need to be pushy or grasping for the latest job offer or the latest relationship, or you don't have to be pushing and pushing other people around to get to the top. I looked a bit at the story of the prodigal son because some words came to me through it, and it wasn't the father's words to the younger son, but it was the father's words to the older son which struck me. I don't know if anyone can remember what I wouldn't have, but I just found them. Because if you remember, the older son, the younger son has taken his inheritance. He's taken that from his father, and he's gone and wasted it all in wild living. And he comes back and repents and says, you know, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'll just be your servant because I want to be with you again. And the father celebrates and runs to hug him. I think we've got a picture of that. Runs to hug him and welcomes him back in. And the older son is really jealous and upset about this and angry, really, because he doesn't think it's fair. And the father goes out to him. And I feel like the father's really sad in this bit. He feels really sad that his older son isn't celebrating with them. And he says to the older son, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." And I think Jesus knew that security of the Father is always with him, and everything the Father has is his. And the Father is always with us, and everything the Father has is ours. Meekness comes from confidence in God, in Christ. He's looking after our interests. He's giving us all we need, so we can lean on him and focus on loving him and loving others as we love ourselves. We don't have to be aggressive, bullying, coercive, or demanding. We can accept and trust and care and serve. And the last thing I want to say about this, because I love this, is the fact that this is all part of what sometimes is called the great reversal, isn't it, that Jesus came to bring about. The whole of these verses are turning everything upside down. I don't know if when you were a child you had school assemblies and sang out of, there was a little blue book and it had two faces on the front. So any children from the 80s will probably remember this. And actually, some of the songs we sang really had an impact on me. There was one about things that you lose and things that you find. And it just had an impact on me. But there was another one about God's love is what's turning the world upside down. Yeah? The only words I could remember from it, I'd probably search it, but the world is only loving to its friends, but your way of loving never ends. Loving enemies too, all this loving with you is what's turning the world upside down. And someone once said to me that it's not actually turning the world upside down, it's turning it the right way up again. So sometimes choosing to live God's way in our lives can feel like it's turning our world upside down. But I'm meant to be going for this. I'm meant to be pushing other people out the way. I'm meant to be searching and grasping for my own happiness. And so to put others first, is like, oh, it's turning my world upside down. But actually, what it's doing is turning our world the right way up, the way it was always meant to be. And more than this, Jesus invites us to be part of turning the whole world upside down with him. And actually, we'll find we're helping to turn the world the right way up. We're called to be part of this reversal, this great reversal. We've just celebrated Easter, where Jesus proved that death and hate and sin and aggression and violence and pain are not going to have the final say. And that the way of life and blessing and happiness, the good life, is the way of meekness, humility, grace, gentleness, forgiveness, and love. And this is a real reason to celebrate now, isn't it? Reminds me of Mary's song, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she was told that she was going to have this special baby, said this. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." We can celebrate because God is turning the world upside down. Let's just pray. Jesus, we love you. We love the way you are with people. We love that although you're the king of the world and that everything belongs to you, that you are humble and gentle and kind to us, even when we don't deserve it, especially when we don't deserve it. And we really praise you for that, and we really thank you for your love and your kindness and your gentleness with us. And we sometimes find it difficult to show that same gentleness to other people. We feel we have to sort of strain and get what we want and get what we need. But help us, Lord, to just trust you, to trust that you are in control of our lives, that you're helping us, that you love us, that you want the best for us, and that everything you have is ours. Let's help us to choose every day the good life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.